Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
You know, on Copywriters Podcast, right, we've studied a lot of the old masters. But today's master wrote his world-famous book more than 2,500 years ago. And that master is Sun Tzu, and his book is The Art of War. Today, we're going to do a copywriting edition of the strategies in this book. Of course, it was written as a military strategy. The Art of War reaches far beyond military warfare, though. Business overachievers like Elon Musk and Mark Benioff, who's the founder of Salesforce, are among the many who have praised this book. And actually, you and I were talking about this earlier, Nathan. We both read it ourselves. You read it multiple times, I think.
I love it.
Yeah. And it's important because the principles in the book are universal and very powerful in any situation where you're in a struggle. And getting people to buy from you with the written word certainly counts as a struggle. Today, you'll see exactly how Sun Tzu's principles, when applied to copy, can help you sharpen your copy, position your offer better, and persuade prospects more naturally. I got to tell you, I was surprised when I was preparing this how easily these principles can be applied to copy. And I should also mention that no customers or subscribers were harmed in the preparation of this podcast, just as no one is harmed when I remind you that copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast. And most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. Okay, so let's start with the book. Sun Tzu's The Art of War has 13 chapters, and each chapter breaks down a principle of strategy. Now, for the podcast, today is part one. We'll just focus on the first six chapters. We'll get to the other seven in part two in a few weeks. Now, as copywriters, our goal is simple. Write copy that brings in sales. But in reality, writing consistently effective copy can be tough. So today we'll talk about the copywriter's battles in the war for the sale and some very specific and easy to understand things you can do to win more often. Now, I want you to see that this is the copywriter's sword. Okay, this is, I guess we're only going to be able to show this. This is only for our viewers on YouTube. Sorry, guys. If you're listening to this, you can go back to YouTube. We're still in the first few minutes. But as every writer knows, the pen is mightier than the sword. Okay, enough props. All right, so we will talk about the copywriter's battles in the war for the sale, and some very specific and easy to understand things you can do to win more often. We'll talk about planning your copy more thoughtfully. You'll learn practical ways to make your messaging stronger and clearer, making it easier for your prospects to make a decision. And we'll talk about how to subtly lead your readers to feel comfortable and confident buying from you without feeling pressured. Actually, we'll cover a lot more than those three things, but that ought to give you a good idea of what's coming up.
I think at its core, The Art of War is a human psychology, especially a group psychology book. And when we're selling, human psychology plays a huge role, especially when we're selling one-to-many, group psychology plays a big role as well. So that's part of why I've always loved this book.
Yeah, I would agree with you. Let's start with section one, because we address a lot of those things. Section one here is chapter one from the book, Laying Plans. And Sun Tzu starts The Art of War by pointing out that careful planning is the most important step in any battle. He says, if you want to win, you need to first understand your own strengths, your opponent's weaknesses, and the battlefield itself. Now, the same idea works for copywriting. Before you write your copy, you have to deeply understand who your prospect is and what they're going through. Okay, some steps to do that. First, figure out your prospect's emotional state and their level of awareness. Your reader might be worried, frustrated, excited, or doubtful when they first see your copy. Trying to zero in on that emotional starting point lets you choose the right words to bring them in. For example, suppose you're selling a solution for back pain. Your reader is probably frustrated or even desperate. Your opening needs to immediately show that you understand their pain and that relief is possible. If you don't match your message to their feelings, you might lose them right from the start. And know how aware they are of the problem. Do they already know what the problem is, or do you need to help them see it? This awareness level will affect how you approach your copy. Next, write your copy focused on the outcome your readers desire most. Most copywriters start by listing features or details about their product, but that won't work because features and benefits are not what your prospect cares about at first. They care about the change in their life experience they can get from your product. Some examples would be peace of mind, freedom, respect, security. So if you're selling a financial planning course, your prospect probably doesn't just want more money. Probably before that huge wad of cash you'll help them build, they want to feel safe and confident about their future. So at first, your copy should speak clearly and simply about the outcome rather than just numbers or investment tips. Another important first step is to know your reader's objections beforehand and plan how to overcome them. Sun Tzu says that you must know your enemy to win. In copywriting, your enemy is not your prospect, but instead your prospect's doubt or skepticism. Before you start writing, list all the reasons your reader might hesitate. Maybe they think your product is too expensive or too complicated, or maybe they doubt your claims. So get some proof to counteract those doubts. If cost is the problem, show testimonials or case studies that prove the product pays for itself. If they think it's complicated, demonstrate how simple it is to use. When you handle objections up front, you'll create the opportunity to build trust and confidence with your prospect. Look at it this way. Planning your copy isn't something extra. It's something you've just got to do. Once you understand your reader's emotions, focus on the outcomes they want most, and prepare your proof to handle objections, you're in a really good place to start. This kind of planning helps your copy work faster and better every time.
I just want to emphasize what you said there. In copywriting, your customer, potential customer, is not the enemy. A lot of times we think of this, or can think of this, as an adversarial. They've got the money. I want the money. How do I win so that I can get the money? But understanding that that's not your real enemy, the doubt, the indecision, the objections that they hold, that's the real enemy. And I think that that's a very important thing to, it's worth mentioning twice.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, so next chapter is on waging war. Sun Tzu teaches that war needs to be quick and decisive. The longer a fight lasts, the more resources it eats up, and that weakens your position. He recommends winning fast and using your enemy's resources instead of wasting your own. Copywriting is no different. Direct response is about getting the sale quickly, as efficiently as possible. Here are some steps to take. First, keep your cost of getting new customers as low as possible by always testing, because your first idea or headline may not be the best one. So test different versions. Even small changes like the order of words in a headline or line spacing to make your copy more readable can make a huge difference. You'll want to try out several headlines to see which one grabs attention most effectively. Next, capture your reader's attention right away or risk losing them forever. Always keep in mind these days, attention spans are incredibly short. Your opening line needs to grab the reader, and the copy that follows needs to hold on. Do that by discussing what your reader cares about the most. Good chance they'll move on if they don't quickly see how your message matters to them. Let's say you're writing about a product that helps people sleep better. Instead of a vague question like, "Do you want to sleep better?" talk about what's front and center for them in their experience. Something like, if you're exhausted from lying awake every night, there's something you should know will do a better job. Finally, learn from your competitors' successes and their mistakes. Sun Tzu advises capturing enemy resources to strengthen your own army. In copywriting, this means studying what your competitors are doing. Look at the ads they run over and over. They wouldn't keep spending money on those ads unless they're working if they're using a direct response approach to advertising. So study those ads and figure out why. Is it the emotional angle? The nature of the offer? Is it something else? Also, notice ads that don't last too long. Those ads probably failed. Ask yourself why. Was the message confusing? Was the offer unclear? Were they appealing to a feeling that the prospects don't have in the first place? Learning from your competitors' failures can save you from making the same mistakes they did. What you can get from this repurposed chapter of The Art of War is that you can quickly and efficiently move ahead by testing your ads, grab attention, and learning from your competitors. Do these things consistently, and you'll control your costs while keeping your sales moving up.
A lot of copywriters wait too long to ask for the sale. And we had, I can't remember who it was. We had a copywriter on the show a long time ago talking about have a call to action right up at the top and have a call to action midway through and have a call to action towards the bottom. Not everybody wants to read all the way to the bottom before they find the place to actually buy whatever it is your offer is. Win the sale quickly if you have the opportunity. Have the call to action right up at the top for the people that come there already pre-sold.
I mean, it's important. You have to ask more than once. And yeah, I know copywriters get shy sometimes, but it's important. Chapter 3, Section 3, Attack by Stratagem. Sun Tzu famously said, "The greatest victory is winning without ever having to fight." He believed that outsmarting your enemy and winning quietly through clever strategy was far better than a direct costly battle. In copywriting, the ultimate win is similar, convincing your reader to buy without ever having them feel like they've been sold. That's what subtle effective persuasion is all about. How do you make that happen? First, plant the seed to make the sale feel like it was your prospect's own idea later on down the line. I can tell you from a recent experience with a client who is having trouble to buying into a common sense idea, this method really works. Now, to be clear, people resist when they feel they're being pushed into buying, but when they believe buying is their own idea, it's easy for them to say yes. One way to do this is to ask subtle questions early on in your copy, questions that get your reader imagining life with your product. Instead of bluntly saying, "You need this product," ask something like, "How would your day be different if you could solve this problem quickly?" Now your reader is thinking about solving their problem and already mentally testing out the existence of your solution in their life. You can also use emotional appeals and simple persuasion stories to guide your reader towards buying without bringing down the hammer. As you've probably heard before, stories that reach people emotionally bypass their resistance defenses. When you share a story, your reader starts to feel the emotions of the person in the story, often without realizing it. How does this apply to the real world of writing sales copy? Let's say you're selling a fitness program. Instead of jumping right into a laundry list of features and benefits, share a story about someone who was frustrated with their weight and struggled until they found your program. Let your reader feel the relief and happiness of that person's success. As your reader experiences these emotions, they naturally start wanting those results too, without feeling pressured to buy. A key part of this strategy is to outthink your competitors by knowing your customer better than they do. Sun Tzu teaches that the understanding of your enemy better than they understand themselves is the key to victory. In copywriting, that means knowing your customers' desires, fears, and doubts better than your competitors do. Spend time listening to your audience. Read reviews, pay attention to their conversations online, or even speak directly with customers. do searches on Amazon and Reddit. Getting this deeper, more accurate knowledge allows you to write copy that resonates more strongly and personally than what your competitors produce. Here's a for instance. If your competitor's message is simply, our product works fast, but you know from research that your customers really care about reliability, you can speak directly to the reliability of your product. When you show that you understand their real concerns, this instantly builds a level of trust and confidence your competitors can't match. So the takeaway from this section is persuade and sell almost invisibly by helping your reader feel like the buying decision was their own idea, and do this by using stories and emotions to guide their decision and by knowing your customers better than your competitors ever could.
We talk often about an aha moment inside of copy where a realization happens and all of a sudden they're looking at everything differently. And if you can do that subtly without saying, hey, you're looking at things wrong, here's what you need to know. But if you can say, most people thought this and then our expert discovered this and what he found blew his mind away. And then they, instead of being pushed into a new belief system, they have that aha moment, and now it's their belief. It's not a belief that was pushed on them. It was a belief that they adopted. And once they adopt that belief, there's that resistance that you're trying to trick me into giving you my money disappears, and it's, oh, that makes sense. I need to buy this thing.
Yeah, true. You know, the great copywriters do this so well, you almost can't see what they're doing. Yeah. But it's a skill to aspire to. All right. Section 4, Chapter 4, Tactical Dispositions. Sun Tzu teaches that a skilled general creates conditions for victory first and then waits patiently until the enemy becomes vulnerable. The idea is simple. Set yourself up so that victory becomes inevitable and then let fate take its course. You can do the same thing with copywriting. The trick is to set up your product as the clear and natural solution. That makes buying it an easy decision. First, start by clearly understanding the strengths of your offer and then pace yourself. Don't rush to sell right away. Instead, look closely at what makes your product truly valuable. Is it how quickly it works? Is it its ease of use? Maybe it's reliability. Once you see your product's strongest points, you can wait and watch for the right emotional angle to present it. Maybe a news event, a personal experience your reader can relate to, or a common frustration everyone faces. This gives you a natural way to enter the conversation without coming across as contrived. For example, suppose you're selling home security systems. Your strength might be peace of mind. Have the patience to wait until you can naturally connect it to a recent news story about home safety, and now your offer feels totally organic. Another technique is to position your copy as a trusted friend instead of as an opponent to your reader's skepticism. People feel naturally skeptical about sales messages, so instead of trying to beat their skepticism, acknowledge it and show that you're on their side. You might start your copy by openly recognizing their doubts. Say something like, you've probably heard promises like these before. I understand why you might be suspicious. Anyone would. By acknowledging these doubts up front, your reader feels understood rather than pushed. Then you can gently guide them through these doubts, showing how your product is genuinely different. This simple shift makes your reader feel respected and builds trust quickly. Lastly, spot and take advantage of your competitor's weak points by using better messaging. Sun Tzu says that you win by finding and exploiting your enemy's weaknesses. In copywriting, that means noticing what your competitors aren't saying or what they're not doing well and then doing it better. If your competitor's message is overly complicated, simplify yours to clearly show your value. If they make vague promises, offer concrete proof. By clearly seeing where they fall short, you can position your product as the clear, superior choice. Here's the main point in this section. Set your product up as the obvious solution by understanding your offer's strengths, waiting for the right emotional moment, becoming an ally to your reader's doubts, and clearly outperforming your competitors through better messaging.
I'm going to add to this. The very first thing that you said here was creating conditions for victory first. A lot of times we don't even realize the potential for that in the type of content that we put out, the emails that we put out, the podcast episodes that we put out. A lot of times we have the opportunity to handle those objections, build that trust, talk to those things that you were just talking about, speak to them in our content, in our emails, and then a lot of the heavy lifting is done before we even reach the battlefield, quote unquote, of the sales page. So we have the opportunity nowadays to set a lot of those gears in motion before they even get to the battlefield.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it kind of depends on how much agency you want to take on yourself, how proactive you can see yourself in this process, as opposed to, oh, I'm going to put up this ad and I hope somebody bites on it. You know, you want to take a more responsible, active position, I think you can do better. I think that's what the market leaders do in, you know, any niche, really, any even, niche.
Even in your advertising, the battlefield might be the sales page, but the advertisement itself might be where you're setting up some of those conditions for victory before people even click.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, this involves a whole effect. We have someone who's going to maybe come on and talk about this more in a future episode. This involves a whole strategic mindset as opposed to a tactical mindset of how do I do this piece? How do I do this piece? Seeing the big picture and setting up a strategy.
I dig it.
All right, let's continue with our Art of War for Copywriting Edition. Use of energy, section 5, use of energy. Sun Tzu believed that a well-organized army, when released at just the right moment, creates unstoppable momentum, like stones rolling down a mountain. The key was timing and using energy effectively to guarantee victory. No difference in copywriting, because when you harness momentum in your copy, you build a powerful sense of desire in your reader that naturally leads them to buy. I think this is so important. I work with my clients all the time on not breaking the momentum. And, you know, especially with a rabbit trail about facts or an unclear paragraph or, you know, a non sequitur where it just goes off into the ionosphere. Okay, so how do you set this all up? First, structure your message to keep your reader's interest and excitement growing. You want to build with every sentence on the initial interest you create. That's really important. A lot of people miss this. You want to build with every sentence on the initial interest you create. So each part of your copy should lead smoothly into the next. Let's say you're writing copy for a productivity app. Start by capturing their attention with a common frustration, feeling overwhelmed with tasks. Next, offer small solutions or insights, building their interest step by step until they can clearly see how your app transforms their daily routine. This gradual buildup keeps their energy rising until they can't wait to see how your product helps them. Next, save your strongest benefit for right before you ask for the sale. This works because you've built up to your most powerful selling point gradually. When your reader sees your strongest benefit at exactly the right moment, it's exciting. Let's say you sell a fitness plan. Early on, you mentioned small benefits, better sleep, more energy. But before you close, you bring in the stunner. Finally, feel confident every time you look in the mirror. That lets your reader's own enthusiasm and momentum carry them smoothly to the sale. And at this point, your call to action doesn't feel forced anymore. It simply feels like you're guiding your prospect to the next logical step. So this strategy is about keeping your reader's interest building by revealing your strongest benefit at the perfect moment and letting their excitement lead them naturally to the sale. Use momentum wisely and your copy becomes irresistible.
I've heard you mention before your copy should be like a greased slide. And every time there's a rough patch, every time there's a bump in that slide, It's the opportunity for the person to go look up a word that they didn't recognize because you used a $10 word to sound smart in your copy, and now they're off on Urban Dictionary trying to figure out what that word means. Every time you do that, you lose the momentum. So that gradual buildup of desire and keeping the momentum going, more important than most people realize.
Yeah, your copy isn't about showing off how smart you are. Your copy is about showing your reader how smart they are when they buy your product.
Yeah. Oh, I thought it was a chance for me to be cute and clever and creative, David.
No, that's what hip-hop's all about.
Okay.
All right. So section six, weak points and strong points. Sun Tzu believes that the key to victory is simple. Arrive first on the battlefield, choose your position wisely, and force your enemy to respond to your moves. By doing this, you control the initiative and turn the enemy's strengths into weaknesses. In copywriting, the battlefield is your prospect's mind. The goal is clear. Identify your competition's weaknesses, highlight your strengths, and position yourself so your offer feels like the natural, superior choice. A quick step-by-step to do that. First, get into your reader's mind early and frame the conversation about your offer. It can be, if you can be the first to clearly present a solution, your message sets the stage. Your readers will measure all competing messages against yours. You become the standard. For example, you're selling a supplement and you introduce your product by clearly highlighting a unique, powerful ingredient that every other product is compared to yours. And by getting there first, your product sets the expectations. Next, turn your competitor's strength into a weakness by reframing it clearly in your reader's mind. This approach is incredibly powerful. If your competitor is known for being the cheapest, don't compete by lowering your prices even further. Instead, position low cost as a potential problem, implying it might mean lower quality or weaker results. Suddenly, their strength, low price, becomes their weakness because your reader starts worrying about quality. Similarly, if a competitor promotes complicated technology as their strength, highlight the simplicity and ease of use of your product. Now their complicated features seem like a hassle, not an advantage. Lastly, focus your message where your competition ignores your customers' pains or desires. Most companies have blind spots. They focus heavily on certain benefits or features and ignore other ones. This leaves an opening for you. Carefully observe your market. If your competitors talk mainly about speed, but you notice customers really want reliability, emphasize reliability. Highlight what customers truly care about that others overlook, and your product stands out powerfully. Bottom line is this: control the frame from the start. Turn your competitors' strengths into weaknesses and clearly address the needs your competition overlooks. When you do this consistently, your copy makes your product feel like the obvious choice.
I think this is one advantage that offer owners who write their own copy have, is the fact that they can change their offer. If they notice, hey, everybody's complaining that every other product has this one flaw, let's figure out how to fix that flaw for our product and utilize that in our copy. If you're just doing client work, you don't have that power. But if you're a offer owner and you're writing your own copy, then you have a huge advantage by understanding this last point.
Yeah, absolutely. You may have had this experience. I have, other people have. It's very hard to get someone else to change their offer, even when you have data that shows they'll make a lot more money, even if they don't have to change the product itself, just the way they present it. But much easier if you're the one holding the checkbook and the URL and the business and the da-da-da-da. So, yeah, I agree with you.
And I would say, fortunately, a lot of the listeners to this podcast are in that position. A lot of the listeners are offer owners who also write at least part of their own copy. So a lot of the listeners are in that privileged position right now.
Yeah. So if you are, count your blessings. That's good. All right. Let's recap it. We only covered 6 of the 13 chapters. This is part 1 of The Art of War Copywriting Edition. And I'll give a brief recap. And then a few weeks, we will do part 2. But for part 1, first is laying plans. Strategic planning is the backbone of copywriting success. Clearly understanding your prospects' emotions, awareness, and desires before writing. Two, on waging war. Direct response means the sale comes quickly without you wasting your resources. Constantly test your ads, capture attention immediately, and analyze competitors carefully. Three, attract by stratagem. The ultimate copywriting achievement is persuasion without obvious selling. Use emotional stories and subtle messaging to let readers feel buying was their own idea. Four, tactical dispositions. Great copy positions your product so it's the obvious solution. Identify your offer's greatest strength and present it clearly at the perfect emotional moment. Five, use of energy. Successful copywriting harnesses momentum to build unstoppable desire. Structure your copy to steadily build excitement, releasing your strongest benefit right before the close. And six, weak points and strong. Effective copy identifies competitors' weaknesses and leverages your strengths. Spot overlooked customer desires, reframe competitors' strengths, and clearly present your offer as superior.
Man, this was a good episode, David. When you brought the idea to me, I knew it was going to be good, but I didn't know you were going to go as deep as you went. So thank you for putting this together, man.
Yeah, thanks for saying that. You know what? I wonder if Sun Tzu was secretly a copywriter, but he realized that that kind of book wouldn't sell. But a book about war, oh man, everyone wants that.
Yeah, copywriting is a very niche market compared to warmongering for sure.
Yeah, in 500 BC or BCE, it was even more of a niche market. There's no printing
press yet. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, you can check out the show notes and 430 plus other episodes over at copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey. If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app so we can get into ears of more listeners. Thank you.